Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. In his message titled Palm Sunday, LLC, Reverend David Williams tells us that we are faced with daily struggles, suffering, and weaknesses. God wants us to be true to ourselves and the rest of the world and to bring our problems and issues to Him. Through His love and grace, we become a transformed person. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather in this place, and it's a day when there's a lot of talk of winning, of victory and triumph, of processions and marches and celebrations. And that is something that we understand from the world we inhabit, because celebrating and winning and being the one on top is the thing that our culture loves the best. Everybody loves a winner. And that is an easy story for us to tell. Every day on Facebook, when we share whatever wonderful new thing has happened. But that is not the whole of our lives, because so much of what we experience isn't that winning. It is places of struggle, it is places of challenge, it is places where we don't feel our lives are in control, and outside in the world, that is so often interpreted as weakness and as something we'd better keep to ourselves. But here we can share that. Here in this place, we are asked to bring the wholeness of who we are before our God. So right now, let's admit that we struggle to present anything other than victory. Let's admit that before our God, through the prayer of confession, please join me in praying it. Gracious and almighty God, we enjoy participating in triumph. We like the feel of victory, of strength, of doing well. That's the story we'd like to tell of our lives. But we're not quite so good at being open to our weakness. We're not quite so good at admitting that we don't have it all under control. We'd rather not have the world know that suffering is part of our story. And because we do not open ourselves to the help we need, we struggle. Because we do not listen even to the truth of our own lives, we wander in circles. Forgive us, Lord, for being so stubbornly lost. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. You can follow along on page 197 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's Word. Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What is it that defines us as people? What makes us ourselves? What makes us who we are? What does that? We've got different ways of understanding self. There is faith, and the sense of self that comes from faith. And on the other hand, there is now a tendency to think of ourselves as brands. I get that a lot. As someone who blogs and reads about what is expected of bloggers, and the main thing as a blogger is that you need to build and develop your brand, yourself, that thing that people identify you as. And brand identity is the big buzzy thing in our consumer culture. And I recall that not being quite as pervasive when I was younger. It wasn't as radically defining. I mean, when I was a kid, there were brands. My mom bought Tide. My mom bought Ivory. I drank Coke, but not Pepsi. My folks drove a Chevy, but not a Ford. And those things were just the things that they are. They were brands, but they weren't people unless, you know, you were actually Colonel Sanders or actually Walt Disney, in which case their lives were weird enough already. But, you know, but now it feels like everything is supposed to be a brand. With the net-driven, fractal commodification of all human interaction, we must attend to our brand. We must build our brand. We must become our brand. But what does that do? How does that shape us? Bless you. Brand is what? It's about the relationship between a product slash service and the consumer of said product slash service. It is meant to develop a pattern of repeat or customary purchase based on a consumer's perception of qualitative dynamics of that brand identity. It is meant to be a guide. And so I use Google products, Gmail, Google Docs. I use my Chromebook. I use them because Google represents for me innovation coupled with an imperfect but semi-intentional beneficence. And it's cheap, meaning free, which warms my Scots-Irish heart. And it is easy to use with not too much extra complexity. Those things I appreciate. And when Google becomes sentient a few years from now and the Googlenator drones are hovering over our neighborhood like little buzzing angels of death, having a Chromebook, I figure, be the next best thing to lamb's blood on my doorpost. Brand confers corporate identity. But it does more than that. It rubs off in the relation. The brands we consume are meant to modify our sense of self, be a social marker within culture about our place and our status. The car we drive says something about us. In my carport and parked in front of our house, I have a Honda and a Toyota, both with plenty of miles on them, and that tells me that I am practical, reliable, and comfortably bourgeois. The more we internalize those brands we interact with shaping our identity, the more we get reinforced that we are consistent, reliable consumers. And so the question becomes, what is the relationship between brand identity and an identity shaped by faith? And that is an important question, because as branding becomes the defining feature of corporate and individual self-understanding, that bleeds over into the realm of faith. Having gone and gotten a leadership doctorate, there was so much stuff about churches thinking about their brand, churches attending to their brand in the process of endless self-promotion that we are meant to pursue. Because, you know, you've got to self-promote. You've got to pitch that out there, advertise, market yourself. But there is, as the children of this community so witnessed, there is a problem with that, because brands don't allow for any complexity in the nature of their identity. Brands don't talk about their struggles. Brands don't present you with their flaws or their weakness. They are not honest. They do not talk about their mess. It's only this idealized vision of themselves, of their identity, a vision buffed and carefully polished by Madison Avenue. Chipotle is not going to put out ads, you know, really you won't get sick anymore here. They're not going to do that. A car company is not going to say, well, you know, honestly, we're a little bit behind in the efficiency department and we haven't redesigned this particular car in 15 years, but it's okay. There is no truth in it. All we're meant to see is a false and surface level sheen. Is that an issue? I think for our identity as souls, yes, it is. Because brand identity is very separate from the way that faith shapes us. Faith is not about a mask or an image or a carefully constructed reality that presents what you think another person wants to see about you. Brand identity is the inverse of the identity created by an authentic faith. And that reality is at the heart of the sweet, short passage we received today from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. And this is one of my favorite little bits of scripture, because it is Paul doing what Paul most often did when he was trying to make a very significant point. He didn't drill down and give this highly complex structure and this complex argument. When Paul really wanted to say something important, he burst into song. He just did. I mean, we think about 1 Corinthians 13, that well-known hymn to love. He wants to make this core point. There's music, a song. And that's what this is. If you look at this portion of the text, you've got text, 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 and then suddenly it's set aside. These are verses, either a poem or most likely music, where Paul is sharing with a community he loved the essence of what they knew Jesus to be. And, you know, maybe it's just lyric quotations, but I like to visualize Paul actually singing this. Or when it got to the community and they're reading this letter, this moment, they're reading, and they know the song, and so whoever's reading it to them burst out into song. It's like Paul the musical, you know? I mean, you might think, oh, that'll never make it on Broadway, but if a hip-hop musical about the father of American federalism can be a smash hit, you know, you never know. Paul the musical, totally great. This song has particular content, and it's all about the true nature of who Jesus was, and that speaks to the dynamics of appearance, the dynamics of power, and the verses we get, honestly, are something of a faith touchstone, particularly Philippians 2, 6 through 7. If you have a little bit of the Christian mystic in you, which I do, this is a touchstone. I mean, these passages that read, again, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. The key terms here come first in verse 6, where Paul is singing out about how Jesus did not take advantage of his relationship with God. The word that is parsed here as exploit is the Greek term harpagmon. And there are a lot of different ways you can describe that, but it's grasping, it's taking, it's snatching, or it can also be pillaging. It means, whichever way you slice it or translate it, that it is the use of whatever power you have been given to your own personal profit. Jesus does not do this. Instead, in verse 7, we hear the words from this ancient Jesus song, singing in the Greek, that Jesus is heautonon ekenosen, which means self-emptying. Jesus has turned himself completely over to God's purpose, which means turning himself over to the care and service of others. And everything he was served that purpose. His flesh, already made by God, but then his every inward thought, fully transformed and turned over to the love of God and neighbor. All of those internal machinations, all of that self-oriented selfishness for pride, the grasping of greed or the desire for profit or power, all of that set aside. Those are key features of an authentic Christian faith. Because Christian faith, which we understand in the context of this person, isn't oriented towards the self in the way that Brand is oriented towards the self, but rather is focused on transcending that. And that is true for us as persons. It's also true for us as communities. The task of a Christian community is not its own power and strength. The purpose we find in faith is different. It's a relationship grounded in love. And that means that an identity shaped by faith is very, very different than an identity shaped by brand. It is a different thing entirely. And we have to keep that in mind as our culture tries to press the hot metal of brand identity into our souls. Because brand, like ads, is about a false front, trying to use others' anxieties or desires as a way of manipulating and controlling. And that, oddly enough, plays into the tension of today, the tension of Palm Sunday, between what people thought and expected they were receiving and what Jesus was actually bringing. I mean, this is like a, they were expecting to wave their palm fronds at a triumphant Messiah. And they understood Messiah in terms of power and control. And they had done this before. I mean, the crowds in Jerusalem had waved Hosanna to a whole bunch of people who had shown up promising them power. There were people who came, and history teaches there were many of them, who came into Jerusalem presenting themselves as liberators, bearers of the proud heritage of David, playing to the expectations of the crowd, enjoying the adulation as they presented themselves as a perfect and powerful warrior who would take up the sword and liberate them from whatever happened to oppress them. That is not the one who humbles themselves, who is obedient even to the point of death. That was not who Jesus was, and he knew it. And we who retell the story of his teachings, his life, his death, and the really tough week that he was about to have, we know that truth too. Jesus did not bring the shallow brand of power and profit. He did not manipulate, but came to the world with the deep, honest integrity of a soul that had given itself completely to the service of God's love for all. Here in this Holy Week, as we step across the threshold, walking towards Easter, we are asked to remember that Jesus was the one who emptied himself so that God could be fully present. In this week, let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Everything has to sparkle and shine and be perfect. And in no way is that more true in the world outside than in that pressure to make ourselves appear like the brands we see and encounter. Everything perfect. Everything just so. And if you buy it, you're going to be happy. That is the lie of the brand image. And it is something that challenges all of our souls in a culture where, as our kids taught us, as they are learning, that is just a relentless programming. And everything you see, everything you read, every link you click on, every moment brand pitches itself to you on the side of your Facebook page, everything, brand and image. But the way of Jesus is different. The way of Jesus is not a carefully constructed image designed to manipulate you into buying something that is going to break later or that you're going to need to replace after a year because it has been made obsolescent and no longer runs the Jesus OS 10.2. That does not happen because Jesus is not about surface identity, but about a soul that is transformed into the shape of God's love. That is not a surface thing. It is something that we allow to seep into us and to change us and to work in us our whole lives long as we walk this path together. And so as you step out into the world, remember that even though the Presbyterian Church does have a logo, and we do have something of a fading brand identity, that's not who we are. We are a people of the way, always being transformed, always emptying ourselves so that God can work in us. In this holiest week of our year, and in all of our lives, remember that is who we are asked to be. Not fake, not false, but truly and deeply transformed by God's love. And so now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.